Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. And I'm back again with co-host Erica Flint. And today, we're going to talk about a very special issue that comes along sometimes. And these people can be particularly interesting to work with. And that is hypnosis to help the perfectionist. And, in the last episode, we talked about, if you've got some issues that might be holding you up in your practice, like maybe being a perfectionist yourself, you need to go get hypnosis sessions, preferably from a five-pather, because they'll know how to fix it. And we're going to talk about today specifically how to use hypnosis to help the perfectionist get past that, get on with her life. And let me just say a couple little news briefs here. Hey, just like last time, I talked about how there's the Danish, the Denmark Hypnosis Conference, fhhd.dk for all the information, fhhd.dk for the hypnosis website that they have, and it'll be September 24th to 25th. I will be doing a workshop there on age regression, and for you seven-path self-hypnosis practitioners that are ready for the ultimate recognitions, I'm going to be teaching the 1 through 5, and so you folks in Europe, particularly Northern Europe and Scandinavia, I'd love to see you. All right, so now back to what we're talking about. Let me introduce you to Erica. Erica's becoming a force in the world of hypnosis. She's one of the hardest working hypnotists I know. I don't know anyone that works harder than Erica to really have the best results with her clients, to have the best hypnosis classes. She's certified to teach my courses, and that's exactly what she does. How do you become a five-pather? Well, you can take it through me, you can take it through Erica, one of our other certified professional hypnosis instructors, and you can also do it with the five-path DVD set. And let me tell you something, Erica started off in the world of computer science, worked there for years and years as a professional in the world of computer science. She even has some patents to her name in that world. And one day, something happened, lightning struck her or something, and she says, the heck with all this hardware and software, I want to work with the BioWare of the most powerful computer known in the world, maybe the universe, and that's the human mind. And so you started learning about how to program human minds, and she learned about hypnosis, and she got very excited, took a local hypnosis class, stoked her interest even more, but it wasn't enough to really get her going. And so she heard about the five-path DVD set, she got it, and then bam, she started seeing clients very quickly thereafter. Then she took the live course. Then she got interviewed by me, and now she's a co-host, and she writes for the Five Path Journal, and she's just awesome. How you doing, awesome, Erica?
Hey, Cal, thank you so much for that introduction. I am doing fantastic. Thank you. I haven't heard that term BioWare before, so I don't know if you coined that or you just made it up right now or heard it, but yeah, that's exactly right. I love helping people with the power of hypnosis, which is very much, a credit to you, because I took previous training in hypnosis. It wasn't quite enough. It wasn't until I took the five-path training that I really felt like I had the tools. I had the actual tools to be able to do this as a profession, which leads me into telling everybody all about you, Cal. So Cal Banyan is the authority on the hypnosis that works. That is my personal experience too. After I took that five-path DVD training set, I was out seeing clients right away. I've been doing it ever since. And Cal has really taken the aspects of our profession and turned them into things that you can learn, and use in your practice every single day. Now, he's been in the business for over 20 years. He's won nearly every award from the National Guild of Hypnotists, which is the oldest and the largest hypnosis professional organization in the world. He's an author, he's a speaker, he's a trainer. He's a trainer of some of the best in the world. He's the one who experts turn to for guidance. And he's had such a profound impact on my career, because everything that Cal creates is just like gold. It really is. He has taken the best of the best and turned it into techniques that me, that you, can learn and use with your clients every single day. So it's such an honor for me to be here and share this time with you, Cal. Thank you so much. Today, we are talking about the perfectionist, right?
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, this topic was totally Erica's. All of our co-hosts, one of their jobs is, besides being smart and being able to talk and look good on video and all that, is they have to come up with, every time we meet, with some topics. And before the show, we go through the topics and figure out which ones we're going to do. Sometimes I have one or two that I want to do, but the bulk of the responsibility coming with the topics is with our co-hosts. And this was Erica's wonderful idea. Why don't you start it off?
Yeah, so part of the reason, I've been wanting to do this topic for a while, and the reason is because a lot of my clients will self-describe themselves as a perfectionist. So let me just be clear on this. Most of my clients aren't coming with this issue. They don't come to me because they're a perfectionist. They're not saying, oh, I'm a perfectionist and I want to get rid of it. That's not why they're coming to hypnosis for me. They're usually coming because there's a significant amount of stress in their life, and the stress is causing them some negativity, or they're coping with alcohol or food or something like that. And so I've recently had clients where they have said this to me, well, I'm somewhat of a perfectionist, so it's really hard for me to not be so stressed about this issue. And so there are issues where this is one of those cases where I really want to address this with the client and help them adjust that and see if we can work on that with the client so they can be happy, they can do good work. So Cal, has this come up in your practice as well?
Yeah, and as you're talking about it, it reminds me of the first time I heard this phrase was from Edward Wunder, one of our five path hypnotists, and he says, they only think they're coming in for stop smoking, lose weight, drinking, whatever it is, and really they got something else going on at a deeper level. And the things that they're coming in to see us about is like a behavior that's being a problematic behavior that's being generated by a deeper issue. So this is perfectly an example of that.
Right. So, you know, what is a perfectionist? You know, there's a lot of definitions. I think this is definitely something that is more where people just identify, well, I'm a perfectionist, and really nothing less than perfect is acceptable for me. And this shows up like, for example, in the workplace, where people don't want to submit any work or they don't feel comfortable with the work that they've created unless it's absolutely perfect. And so they stay up all night to fix it, or they don't turn their work in, or they're not showing up for things because it's not perfect. And this ends up being a real problem in their life. And the reason I know is because I'll ask them, how is this impacting your life? That's one of the really important questions that we can ask our clients to understand, is this something that we need to address? Right, Cal?
Well, absolutely. And you know, you can be absolutely frozen by perfectionism. And I want you to think about that. Frozen by perfectionism. Stopped in your tracks, or not be able to move any farther, not make that meeting, not get that report done, not. And I use the word frozen on purpose, because the motion behind perfectionism, the main one, is fear. You ever heard of frozen in fear? There's the three responses to fear: fight, flight, and freeze. What do you think of that, Erica?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what they tell us, the neuroscientists tell us, that frozen is actually the very first one. So it'd be frozen first, and then fight or flight after that. So frozen is really common. It's a primitive way that we respond to things that we're afraid of, right?
Right. And so let's talk about how we're going to free them.
Right. So how do you address this? Well, I'm going to give you guys, you know, you can use this if you want. I can tell you this has worked really well in my practice. So I will usually offer a reframe for my clients, and I'll say, you know, it would be really nice if you could work and do everything with excellence instead of perfection. So ahead of time, I'll usually ask them and see if they feel good about, hey, yeah, I like to do everything with excellence. Right, because what's happening here a lot of times is people care, right? They care. They want to do good work. They can stop caring if they wanted to, but that's usually not going to happen. So that's usually what I'll do first, just to kind of, it kind of eases a little bit of tension in the client there before we start doing the hypnosis. And then we get to do the really awesome hypnosis, which we'll get into in a second. So what do you think about that, Cal? Helping them understand like a new way of thinking about perfection as excellent, doing everything with excellence instead.
Okay. I'm talking to my audience here. Let me tell you what. This is one of the things that really absolutely thrills me about doing what I do. you know, I talk to folks like Erica or Celeste Hackett, and it goes on, Brenda Titus. I'm mentioning them because you may know them because they've been co-hosts. And they take what they've learned with FiPath, and then they gain experience working with clients, and then they have super insights like that. And I think that's such a beautiful, elegant thing you did there, Erica, to go from, you know, from perfectionism to excellence. That's beautiful.
Thank you. I actually don't think I made it up myself. I do a lot of reading, so. But who knows where a lot of these things come from. We, at some point, are listening to what the universe is telling us, and then we're able to apply it in the appropriate way. So in my experience, that has been really well received, exceptionally well received by all of my clients. They get relief just by that thought, I can be excellent without being perfect. So excellent is an A or A minus, not the A plus, 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 double smiley face, right? And they feel good about that. So then we get to what happens next. So, of course, as Cal mentioned, it's about fear. So we do some really powerful age regression with our clients to address this issue. What do you want to say about that, Cal?
Okay, so the stuff you folks are watching, Erica was talking about, like, preparing the person for the hypnosis. Phase one, preparation, testing, and convincing. That reframe was part of preparation to get them thinking about things differently. Also in phase one, we're going to have a pre-talk so they really understand hypnosis. We're going to pre-hypnosis interview so we can really understand what change they want to make, and so on. Then we go to phase two. Phase two is age regression. And absolutely, because one of the main things we work on in age regression, not exclusively, but one of the main things is fear. Take it from there, Erica.
Well, after fear, right, we can help our clients bring up a sensation that has to do with the reason why they're coming in to see us that day, right? And a lot of it is just an overwhelming amount of fear of not being good enough or saying the wrong thing, being embarrassed, feeling ashamed. A lot of it has to do with a situation in their life where this has happened to them, where they have felt ashamed, they have felt bad about something, it wasn't good enough. Perhaps they have a strict parent. There are lots of things. So I don't want to talk about all the potential reasons why this could be coming up, but that's why we don't have to know, right? A hypnosis reveals the issue. We just get to talk about and have them bring up the feeling that has to do with why they're coming in to see us. And the age regression does all the work. That's what's so beautiful about hypnosis, right?
Absolutely. One of the things is, so when you begin to regress someone on that emotion, when we're finally going to get back to where it all started, and somewhere along the line, probably where it all started, the child is going to say, you know, if I had done this right, and in the mind of the child that means perfect, then I wouldn't be feeling this bad feeling right now. I wouldn't be getting being judged, or I wouldn't be getting punished, or I wouldn't feel bad. And so they then set that goal, and in their mind, the only way they can avoid pain is perfectionism. Please take it from there.
Yeah, and I just want to add something to that just to be aware of. Also in my experience, this comes up a lot of times in households where there is parents who are either, maybe the parents are drinking, or there's some type of, I need to be quiet and not upset anybody in my house because life is better if everything is just perfect and quiet. And so that is often something that goes along with this. So in the minds of some of the perfectionists, it's like, I just need everything to be perfect so I don't get in trouble, or I don't get yelled at, or I don't get punished, right? Has that come up in your practice too, Cal?
Well, yeah, and the thought that comes to mind is, you know, if I could just do this exactly right, then I wouldn't get in trouble. My little brother wouldn't have to put up with this. My little sister, they're protecting themselves, they're protecting the people that they care about, and they just take on a standard that is just not attainable in the real world, and it freezes them.
Yeah, and it comes from a place where they're trying to really do good work and trying to help themselves or their family, like you said, but it's just unrealistic, especially as they get older, to really accomplish that, and that's why the work that we do as hypnotists is so powerful. After we do the age regression with our clients, What's going to come out of that is either some feelings that are erroneous, we get rid of limiting beliefs, or they get to feel good about who they were and how unrealistic it really was. So there's so many wonderful things that come out of the age regression session, but after that, then we're going to move on to forgiveness. So what do you want to say about that kind of that transition when it comes to helping people with perfection in this issue, Cal?
Okay. I mean, I can talk for days about age regression. In fact, in the 10-day course, I do talk for days about age regression. And within the context of what we're doing, what we really want to do is we need to remove that fear. And we're going to find the initial sensitizing event. We're going to find the erroneous thought that's generating the fear. And the erroneous thought is, I have to be perfect, or, you know, all these bad things can happen. And we're going to replace it with the thought that was already checked out ahead of time, and that is to go to excellence instead of perfection. And when that is done, we run them through the initial sensitizing event again, feeling safe, secure, confident, good enough, whatever it is that they didn't feel before, and with the new beliefs that excellent is excellent. You don't have to do better than excellent. And then once we have checked to make sure that the fear is gone, we move on and to the segue into direct suggestion. Segue is how we go from age regression to direct suggestion. By the way, as I'm talking about this stuff, it's so difficult to take something that is really best covered in 100 hours and try to cover it in 20 minutes. But the next best thing is you need to subscribe to this on calbanion.com, because all this stuff has been covered in depth. We have like the 5 parts of being a successful age regression hypnotist. If you subscribe to this podcast on calbanion.com, not YouTube, calbanion.com, I have a page that has a list of all like 500 plus videos. And you can just search through that list by title and get to anything that we've already done on age regression. So don't get frustrated if we're being a little bit condensed on what we're doing with the age regression or the forgiveness work. We've already covered it in depth, so please subscribe, and then you'll get a link to that page, and you'll be able to, you know, instantly be able to access all that stuff. Plus, I'll send you a note every week to let you know when a new podcast is out. So here's a big deal. How do you know when phase one is done? When they come back the next session, you're going to ask them, how's it going? And if they're still feeling afraid, you know, if they're doing the perfectionism out of fear, you know, nervousness, worry, or whatever, then age regression isn't done yet. That should be totally resolved before we move on to the forgiveness work. And then when that's resolved, so age regression is not always a one session kind of deal. For me, I commonly do 2 or 3 sessions on age regression work. I also tend to work on some really hard cases. I work on, like, when other hypnotists have failed, then they'll refer their clients to see me. But do not think that 5-path or what you do takes 2 sessions, 3 sessions, 5 sessions, whatever. When you do a process like 5-path, you know when you're done and time to move on to the next phase. And the next phase is forgiveness of others. Because here's the deal. Once something starts out of fear, then someone did that to them. Who? Well, that's revealed in the age regression. Who did that to them? Who the other people were that were involved in creating that fear? You know, it's usually parents or a particular parent. And so, and is that fair? No, that's not fair. And so there's going to be a degree of anger. Now, what happens is the perfectionism can actually turn into a distracting behavior, and as they just work on a particular thing to a degree that's not necessary, past diminishing returns, now this doing the polishing and the polishing of the project or whatever it is a way to avoid actually putting the project to test or putting it out there to be used, because when it does, If there's any kind of criticism of the project, and if they see that as unfair, it can resonate with the anger that they have the person in the past. So to completely be free of the old pattern of perfectionism, we need to get rid of more than just the initial emotion that was associated with it, and that is anger. So that's what we're going to be doing next. We're going to do a special form of forgiveness work where we're going to really do a deep, profound kind of forgiveness way beyond that which most people know. We're going to really get in there and scrub all that anger away. What do you think of that, Erica?
It's so important. So important to do that complete work, because that anger is going to be there whether, and I'll tell you, a lot of perfectionists don't want to be angry. You know, because they don't want to be angry, because sometimes anger is what's causing the reason for being perfect, so that nobody gets angry. So we want to encourage our clients to get rid of that so that they can feel at peace again. And I like what you said about the distracting behavior, because of what I wrote down was that it becomes a habit. So being a perfectionist is just a habit for people. Like they can't do anything less than perfect. They have to park perfectly. They, you know, like every little thing has to be perfect in their mind. So then it becomes, you know, their life really, they're spending so much extra time on being perfect that they're missing out on a lot of the really beautiful, amazing, tremendous, glorious things in life. And when they do come to see you the next week, like you said, Cal, what we want them to say is, I'm not afraid, or I feel more peaceful. I'm noticing things around me that are more beautiful that I had been missing because I was too concentrated on things being perfect. And that's really what we want to hear. We want to notice in their voice and their tone and their gestures that, you know what, they are really feeling better, right?
Right, they say things like, you know, I'm just not so worried about it anymore. I know that what I'm doing is more than adequate. I don't have to be perfect. By the way, if you have any doubts as to whether or not anger is associated with perfection, work with a perfectionist. Let them reach that level that they believe is perfect, and then find something wrong with it. Boom! There comes the anger, right? So, I mean, it's in there.
Wow, that is a good one, Cal. I never even thought of that. Yes, so that's not perfect. You missed something here. There's a flaw in your perfection, right?
Yeah. Well, that's not fair. You don't know what I go through for you. Blah, 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 blah. I go, okay. Just kidding. Too late. Too late to say I'm just kidding. All right. Anything else? Oh, so let's go on to phase three. Phase four?
Well, yeah, of course. Then once we get rid of that anger, we need to get rid of that guilt, because a lot of our clients are going to be left with all of those years. Now that they're feeling peaceful, now that they realize it's not a big deal, and now that they have gone through, you know, gotten rid of the fear, gotten rid of the anger, there's some residual guilt for a variety of reasons. But one of the reasons is, why was I a perfectionist for so long? Look at all of these things in my life that I missed out on in this time trying to be so perfect, right?
Well, you know, exactly. And one of the things is, in addition to guilt, you know, having done something wrong, then there's also anger at the self. They're very, very angry at themselves when they're not perfect. And so forgiveness of self rids one of anger for what they perceive that they've done wrong to others. And then, you know, maybe other people that have had something unfortunate happened because of their lack of perfectionism or because of their perfectionism. Perfectionism causes more problems than the results of not being perfect. And for example, people will put off doing stuff. It's not just like they do it until they perceive it's perfect. Just as likely, they put it off, and eventually don't do it because of all the pain associated with their perfectionism. So in order to get them totally free from it, we're going to put the same amount of effort into helping that individual forgive themselves as we did having them forgive the person who is most associated with the cause of the problem, as indicated in the age regression. Perfect.
Wonderful. Yes, so that's all I have for that. There are a lot of other elements, as Cal mentioned, details of the age regression and forgiveness, etc. Lots of videos on that, and I loved, Cal, what you said about those videos. Even if you have all of this training, when you sign up and watch those videos every week, you're going to get a deeper understanding So every time you watch something like this, you might know, or yourself, a perfectionist, and understand, oh, this is how it could apply to me or a client or something like that in my life. So you get even more out of it every single one of these videos.
Hey, you know, there's a perfectionist out there right now going, all right, I can add, they've mentioned five paths and five phases, and you just went through phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four. Where's the fifth phase? And I'll tell you what, fifth phase is parts mediation work, and it's only used in situations where there's secondary gain. And I've never run into a situation, first of all, most hypnotists don't need the fifth phase, or it comes up very rarely. 5% of the time, 10% of the time, max. It's there if you need it, and it has to do with dealing with secondary gain. And I've never seen anyone have trouble letting go of their perfectionism and all the problems associated with it. They all, I've never seen anyone not be able to get rid of it with just the first four phases. And so phase five, I have not ever seen a situation where parts mediation work had to be done on that. How about you?
No, I haven't. I mean, sometimes there's an identity level situation. I think sometimes people are proud of their self-described perfectionism. I'm a perfectionist, almost like it's something that they like about themselves, until we dive into it. So that's just a front that they're putting out there, I think, for the world because of everything that's going on. So that usually, it's not sticking around after the fourth phase, and they're not self-describing themselves like that anymore. They will start talking about, they'll start using the word excellence. They'll start using that language, and they do care. So they do want to do things well. They want to do it with excellence, but they don't hang on to it after the fourth phase, in my experience, either. Thanks for mentioning that.
Perfect. Wrap it up.
All right. Very good. So thank you, everyone, for joining us here today. I'm Erica Flint. And with a lot of gratitude, I'm very happy to be here today and happy that you have joined for this episode on perfectionism. I hope it's been valuable to you. You can find me at CascadeHypnosisTraining.com, and I hope to see you in class. Bye for now.
Beautiful. And I'm Cal Banyan. I want to see you in class. Next class is coming up October. But you can always get my schedule on CalBanyan.com. I want to be there for you. I want to see you. I never say it enough, but one of the most important things about any training course is the support after graduation. You don't want to, you know, go through training and then just be thrown out there. We have the absolute best support in the universe. Nobody gives better support than the Five Path International Association of Hypnosis Professionals. All right, that's it. Cal Banyan, signing off.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.